Do you know that feeling when everyone is talking about a movie that you haven't seen? Have you ever felt compelled to make some vague comments just so you can join in the conversation? Well, what if you were in too deep? Do you think you could convince everyone that you'd seen it? Or do you think your version would be so much better that no one would care? Here at Faking Movies, we're always the ones who haven't seen the movie.
Anything you can do better. I can do anything better than you.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
Welcome back to Faking Movies. These assholes I'm with have pointed out that I keep laughing through our intros because they're just so gosh darn funny.
True. I mean, not for the audience. They don't get to hear any of the pre-stuff. So,
yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, our pre-goofs are all for us. We keep them locked in a heart-shaped box that we hide underneath our bed.
We'll release that as a CD box set someday.
Oh, yeah.
The only way to unlock it is with a super secret song that only the three of us know.
Yep.
I don't think I know the song.
Oh, it's Brandy by Through the Looking Glass, obviously.
Oh!
We all knew this.
Oh, you mean our song. You and I, Seth. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. That is our song.
Yeah. Canonically. So, this
Maybe we
is...
should bleep that. I don't know. Maybe...
Nah, I like it. We're going to keep it in there. Okay. This is episode 19, and I'm now just realizing we didn't brainstorm...
Fright Teen, obviously.
Oh, yeah, that's really good.
Okay.
I mean,
okay.
That's like the easy default, but we can make it more awkward.
So I was gonna pitch Ninth Scream,
which
is very bad.
Yeah, that's half a sticker. Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, so that is half of sticker.
Yeah.
So anyway. Clearly, I am joined here today by my good friend Zach. Hey Zach.
Hey guys.
And of course, my good friend Seth. Hey Seth.
Hello. I mean, and... spooky voice.
Ooh.
I forgot. I keep forgetting. Spooky voices.
Yeah.
16, 17, 18, 19 episodes.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Okay.
Always forget about Count Van Count. Count Van Count. Oof.
That was
a hard
close.
One to get through.
That was close.
That was a hard one to get through.
I was thinking about starting from back at one, like Brian McKnight would, but I thought that would just take way too long.
But, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Our audience already hates us. Let's, you know,
They sure do hate me. I know that
Let's
much.
Keep that keep that abuse running.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Are we going to check the power rankings every episode? Lee still firmly in the lead.
Oh, the hateable power rankings for sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, well, that's the only one we care about.
Right, it was implied. Yeah.
Hateability scale. So, before we get started, just so I don't forget... I just wanted to mention again, we are on Twitter at Faking Movies. We are on Instagram at Faking_Movies. And we are now on YouTube at Faking Movies Podcast. Check it out. I try to update it as much as I can. Right now it's mostly shilling for episodes, but we're working on that. So we try to get more content in there.
Especially check out the YouTube. The YouTube's really fun. Like,
yeah, there's some...
There.
There's some good, and you can see our shining faces.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was really hoping you guys weren't going to be upset that I put our actual faces in the videos.
No.
I mean, that's fine. It's already a disaster, so.
Yeah, my internet cred is just zero. Yeah.
Yep.
If anyone was not going to hire me based on the internet, that damage is already done, for sure.
Oh. Guys, I'm on the job market right now. Maybe.
Oh, shit.
Oh, boy.
Yes, our friend Steve McGuy.
Steve McGuy.
I don't know if you're setting up a joke or actually talking about a friend of ours.
He's our third host. Definitely not named Seth.
Oh, gotcha.
Yes.
Who's definitely not on the job market.
Yeah.
Hey, all of my bosses listen to the show.
Well, that's a good point. Maybe my future boss will as well.
Right, boss and future boss are distinct things. I think you're fine.
You're right. My bosses can actively fire me. His bosses in the future just can't. Yeah,
yeah, that's true. That's a good point.
That's rough. Okay. Well, shout out to Lee's bosses.
Yeah.
Shout out to Lee's bosses for sure.
Yeah.
really rolling the dice.
You're gonna get lumped in there with the moms, people that we, I mean, you know, appreciate, but oof. Yeah. Sorry.
Feel bad for, but appreciate. Because yeah. they have to interact with us. So
yeah. It is rough, I gotta tell you. Dealing with me on a daily basis.
Yeah.
I think, did it sound like I think I cut you off, Seth, when I mentioned our websites. What's were you about to say something?
No, I was just going to jump into the thing because I forgot we were gonna talk about the websites.
Gotcha.
Right. Right. Cool.
Well then let's jump in.
Yeah, do the thing.
Yeah, so this week we gave Lee the movie The Conjuring. Lee, what I know. I feel you, Zach.
Sounds like I might have lucked out this week.
Lee, what information about this movie did we give you?
Well, you told me that it's starring our good October friend, Patrick Wilson.
Yeah, only during October is he a friend.
Yeah.
And even then, ugh, God.
Yeah, except for like every fourth or fifth day when I watch the trailer for the shitty Phantom of the Opera he's in.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah.
He's my nighttime friend. Ooh, it's like,
oh boy.
That trailer is like a glass of warm milk that makes me giggle my way to dreamland.
Oh, I can see that. Wow. Isn't that Tom Hardy as well?
No, it's Gerard Butler.
Oh, whoops. Oh. All right. Okay.
They're very different. You were just thinking because there's a mask where you can't see the guy's face entirely mouth entirely. Yeah.
That is probably where I was going. No, that really makes sense. That's the connection that I made.
It does, yeah, I agree. anyway.
Yeah, so who did we give you? We gave you Patrick Wilson.
Patrick Wilson. You gave me Vera Farmiga. Is that how you pronounce her name?
I don't know.
Farmiga.
Farmiga. That's, yes, yeah. You're definitely right. It's definitely not that thing I said.
Pronounced in Latin?
Sure. Because
Latin only has hard G's, you know.
Ah.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, Seth, on the job market.
Yes, he knows about... G's, both hard and soft.
That is true.
So like really? Warren and Allie.
Yep.
This is gonna be two famous episode, G's. Yeah.
Okay. Also in the movie, yep. You told me it was Lily Taylor and Ron Livingston.
So are you familiar with Lily Taylor?
I am familiar with a few very specific Lily Taylor roles that have very much colored my...
Yeah. Oh, there's only a few, and they are very specific. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And you also mentioned that it is also directed by James Wan of Insidious fame.
Yep. Sure is. The last week when my weird 10-part Jumanji came out.
Yes. The masterpiece. Yeah.
Goddamn. The opus.
Yes.
Layer upon layer of bullshit.
Yep, my 10-part Jumanji cube.
Lee, did we tell you this movie's made out of farts or did we leave that out?
No, you didn't.
Okay. Oh shit, I spoiled it. Oh, my bad.
The score was made by someone farting onto a theremin.
Yeah.
Oh, because it's a spooky movie.
I mean, even that is generous, but sure. Okay. Anyway.
All right, we should get into your plot. We're already 12 minutes into this.
Yeah.
So, before I get started, I would like to point out that my intent today was to mostly wing it. I did have some notes, like an outline of key points that I wanted to get across. Mm-hmm. Which I have lost. So
it's all winged? Is this gonna be entirely winged?
For the most part.
Oh, excellent.
Awesome.
It seems to work well for me. I suspect it'll work well for you.
I'm trying to jump on that Seth train.
Yeah, that sweet gravy Seth train.
Mm-hmm. Hasn't failed yet, it's true.
Ride the Seth train. Seth train.
Oh boy.
People all over the world.
People now.
Oh, all right. We got the singing in.
Oh, that's only the first time we're singing tonight.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Cher does feature heavily in this movie. Forgot to mention that as well.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, perfect. Yep. Okay.
Okay.
So.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
The movie begins, and we meet Patrick Wilson and Vera Farmiga, and they are more or less like paranormal investigators. That is,
okay.
Yeah. So, and I want to get like set the tone of what kind of paranormal investigators they are. What's everyone's favorite thing about the two Ghostbuster original movies that really, really works and every scene is amazing, but they don't really expand upon it enough?
Slimer? Is it Slimer?
Yeah.
Is it the Goof Ghosts? Goof Ghosts.
Yeah, definitely. Probably Goof Ghosts. Probably Goof Ghosts.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys are right. It's totally Ray and Winston's friendship that oh, is okay. not expanded upon cool. nearly enough. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. Okay. Okay.
So, the kind of feel I want to get from the first maybe 15 minutes of the movie is they are two paranormal investigators who are wow. clearly just the best of friends. They have a real great give and take kind of repartee.
Are we going to escape a tedious romantic subplot?
We are not going to have them be...
Say it ain't so.
They are not going to be romantically involved. They're just...
Yes! Oh, finally!
And I'm not I'm not saying that in the sense of a rom-com where they're just friends until the end. They're actually just friends.
Oh, my God. In a 2000s movie? Impossible.
I'm so pleased with this.
How are we going to sell tickets to this movie?
Hopefully the scares will bring people in.
Yeah. All the spook goofs. All those goofy... Yeah. Ray and Winston friendships.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Cool.
So, so the first 15 minutes or so are like kind of a semi-montage state where we see them doing their investigations and like having this great back and forth and like discussing their work with people who are skeptics and people who believe. And we just want to really get the audience to really, really like these people and want to spend more time with them and root for them. And the reason we want to get the audience on the side is because they're fucking frauds.
Yeah. Oh.
Naturally.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, wait. You mean because ghosts aren't actually real and this they're right. all bullshit?
You shut your mouth, Zach. You shut your mouth right now.
So okay,
we'll get to this later. Yeah.
For the first few minutes of the movie, we are like bought into this fucking ghost hunting duo.
Uh-huh.
And then we go behind closed doors at their office or something, and we immediately find out that it's bullshit. That mm-hmm. they're just scamming people. And now it's like, nice. But I like these guys, and now mm-hmm. I find out that they're like horrible shitty assholes.
Yeah. Well, are they preying on like
yes.
unsuspecting
absolutely.
People? Oh, okay.
Once
not,
you,
like, shitty.
I want it. We're gonna set it up in a way that once that reveal happens, you think back to the previous scenes, and in retrospect, you're like, oh fuck, like
that's
yeah, okay.
Just yeah, that's gonna be really good. All sorts of Chekhovian indicators,
mm-hmm.
I guess.
sure, Chekhov's yeah. Chekhov's paranormal.
Chekhov's Chekhov's oh. ghost pile. Oh man,
ghost
I don't know, man.
Protocol.
oh, wait, ghost pile is something. TM.
Okay, so oh right. god, this one's gonna be real unwieldy. So after we, so one, another thing I really want to mention up front here in the more lighthearted beginning, I haven't figured out any character names except for one, uh-huh. and that's Patrick Wilson, uh-huh. and his character is named Rutherford P. Hayes.
Like it.
All right.
And the P stands for Paranormal Investigator.
Okay. Well,
two whole words. Cool.
I don't like it anymore.
All right.
Okay. Yeah.
Keep going. Let's
yeah.
dig this a little deeper.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's shit this whole turn out.
So after this turn happens, we are then introduced to Ron Livingston, who you can kind of think of him as like a Walter Peck figure from the original Ghostbusters. He maybe this time he's like worked for the Better Business Bureau, okay. And he sees these people scamming the fuck out of really like vulnerable, scared people, and he makes it his mission. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he makes his mission. He's like, I'm going to take these guys down. So he gets intertwined with them, and to do so, he does some scouting out, like he does some little corporate espionage, and he figures out where they're going to go next, and he beats them to it. And where they're going to go next is Lily Taylor's house.
Okay.
Now, Lily Taylor is convinced that she's being haunted. She is terrified.
Hmm. Okay.
She doesn't know what's going on. She's desperate. And our shitty fake heroes show up. And they're giving her their consultation. And Ron Livingston busts in from the other room. He's like, you fucking fakers. Like, you are preying on people. And he's like, I'm going to prove it. So
wait,
he sets
up... Wait,
did
Ron Livingston break into this woman's house?
He went and met her before they got there.
Oh, okay. I just assumed that he, like, broke the kitchen window and snuck in while they were in the living room.
No, he was waiting in the other room to make his entrance. Mm-hmm. So
wait, is that to say, is she in on it and she's trying to trick these people, or does she actually think she has ghosts?
No, she thinks she
and
has
also
ghosts.
Ron Livingston, like, met her. Okay.
She thinks she has ghosts, but she's, like, in such a vulnerable state that she's willing to agree to Ron Livingston's, like, he's like, listen, I want to prove to you that these people aren't real, like, and maybe he lies and says, I believe you, but I don't believe them. So, what we have set up now is the haunted house movie aspect, because obviously, Lily Taylor is in The Haunting, a very 90s haunted house movie that I vaguely remember, which I believe Owen Wilson was also in.
Oh wow.
Look at all this paranormal activity.
Was that a ghost? Did a ghost just make me do that? Oh wow.
A ghost trying to fly up my nose, but it was broken so they couldn't get through.
We gotta go behind the curtain here. We were all hanging out this past weekend, and we did this for 48 hours straight.
So the
audience knows.
We gotta get it out of our system.
It was wonderful.
it was pretty much the best thing possible.
We are great people to hang out with, just saying.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Even Owen Wilson agrees with you.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
So we get to the haunted house portion of this movie. And Patrick and Vera are, like, kind of freaking out. We see them, like, it's like, what the fuck? Like, how are we going to get out of this? They're going to catch us. And Patrick's like, no. Settle down. We have been dealt with skeptics before. We're just going to use all our old tricks. We're going to get through this. And Ron Livingston, on the other hand, has, like, his own team of debunkers that have come in with him and are, like, following them around to check out what's going on and, like, make sure it's all on the up and up. Meanwhile, night sets in. And this is when Lily Taylor has been experiencing all this shit. Because, obviously, it's a horror movie.
I don't know. You know what? One day, I just want a ghost that is, like, daylight oriented and not nighttime oriented, just to mix it up.
Yeah. A 2 p.m. ghost,
That time when you're tired after lunch and you want to have a siesta, but you can't because
that's
we
a
5 hour Spain and
5 hour energy will bust that 2 p.m. ghost. I don't know. 5 hour energy is our new sponsor now.
Yeah, welcome to the podcast. Oh boy!
So it's now nighttime, and you know Vera and Patrick are doing their dumb bullshit, and Ron and his team are like being very skeptical. And while all this is going on, Lily Taylor is like gets really mad and like leaves the area that they're in because it's like these people said they were going to help me. None of them are helping me. They're just fighting each other. And then, and this is going to be for the trailer. I don't think horror movies have taken full advantage of the Leonard Cohen song Bird on a Wire the way they should. Because it is fucking creepy.
All right. All right.
Lily Taylor walking down a dark hallway with like maybe a flashlight or a candle, and Bird on a Wire starts playing, like not interstitially, but you know. Mm-hmm. And that's when the real ghosts fucking show up.
Man, it's like I have seen this movie or something. Huh, weird. Okay.
I don't know how any of this shit plays out other than, you know, everybody gets fucking freaked out. Like, the unimportant supporting characters are getting picked off by the ghost. Yep. And we determine that Lily Taylor herself is an unwitting medium. She is conjuring the ghosts through her subconscious fears or something.
I thought for sure she was going to be a ghost.
Oh, no. See, I was going with, again, The Haunting, where she's, like, the one who can communicate with the ghosts, and then, like, at the end, she, becomes a ghost to appease the spirits or something. I think that's how that movie works.
I don't remember.
So, yeah. it leads to this big standoff where now, like... Over the course of the real hauntings happening, Ron Livingston and Patrick Wilson have become, like, uneasy friends, but, like, because they've saved each other from, like, one of them has saved the other one's life.
So they're uneasy friends, but they're not besties with testes yet?
No, not yet. Not yet. And sadly, it'll never happen. Because the big climactic ghost battle is going on, and let's say Patrick saved Ron earlier. And during this big battle, Ron sacrifices himself to save Patrick.
Naturally.
And then Patrick sacrifices himself to save Vera, who is his best friend, his platonic best friend, very important.
Yes.
And then all this time, Vera, while she's in the background with Lily, like, because secretly she goes, I know I've been hoaxing people, but I've always believed in, like, this is what you need to do, and coaching up, like, I believe in your powers. And then Lily Taylor, like, unleashes, like, ghost magic or something and kills the evil spirit.
Yep.
So all the dust has settled, and we, like, flash forward to a few months later, and it's Vera Farmiga and Lily Taylor are now real ghost stoppers, ghost stopper ladies. And it's, like, a cool, like, freeze frame where they both have dope trench coats and shit.
Do they jump up in the air?
Sure.
No? Okay, good.
Yeah, because Lily's got the magic, and Vera's got, like, the tech know-how, and now it's, like, we launch a whole fucking series.
Yep.
Oh, they did.
Yeah, maybe Patrick Wilson and Ron Livingston are friendly ghosts who have become best friends in the afterlife. I don't know. I'm not gonna tell our future screenwriters what to do.
You know, all like 16 that will be on each movie.
Oh yeah. These are not. Yeah. This is no one's vision. No one wants to write this movie. They just need a paycheck.
Everybody gets 5 minutes. Go nuts. Yeah.
Just like Ernest, who wanted to be him.
Oh, no. We swore we wouldn't talk about this.
I definitely did not swear that. But
fun fact for our listeners, Jim Varney of Ernest fame, R.I.P., RIP Jim Varney.
R.I.P.
His dream was to have played Hamlet. Isn't that just the saddest thing you've ever heard? Poor guy.
Yep.
Poor guy.
It's not great.
All right, so that was The Conjuring.
Okay.
Cool. So I'm going to do an unprecedented thing here and call bullshit. You have seen this movie, Lee. I guarantee you you've seen this movie.
I have definitely never seen this movie.
Yeah. There were too many similarities.
I mean, to be fair, okay, there are only, we gave you what, 4 characters? There are only 4 meaningful characters in this movie. Yeah. It is a ghost movie. You can only put those Legos together in so many ways.
I assumed it was a ghost movie because we are doing nothing but scary movies this month, and because we just watched a different James Wan ghost movie.
We did. It is very similar, but man, you nailed a fucking lot of that.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. Do you want?
It is my gift and my curse.
Yep. All right, do you want the IMDb one sentence summary?
Sure.
Paranormal investigators Ed and Lorraine Warren.
Wait. Is this based on those actual fake people?
It sure is.
No, they're not. Oh, you mean fake ghost hunters? Yes.
Yeah.
Real people, fake ghost hunters.
Right. Yeah, that's what I mean.
I mean, there's a series of lawsuits that we'll talk about later that involve all of this.
please do.
So, paranormal investigators Ed and Lorraine Warren work to help a family terrorized by a dark presence in their farmhouse.
Yeah. Okay, so it's a ghost movie.
Yep.
Yeah.
Clearly. Okay, so this is where I'd like to introduce the new segment on the show.
Okay.
This came to me about halfway through the movie, and I was like, man, I'm taking all these notes, and I feel like I could really sum this up quickly. So... I'll go first, Seth, but, you know, think in the meantime.
Okay.
Three-word summary of this movie. Okay?
Oh, boy. Okay. Three words is all I get? Wait. Do they have to make a coherent sentence or not?
No, certainly not.
I'm assuming, Zach, that you already have. I'm assuming you already have one. Yeah, okay.
I do.
I figured three words is pretty specific.
My three-word summary of this movie. Yeah. My three-word summary, ghosts are boring. My four-word summary of this movie are ghosts are fucking boring. Okay.
I guess mine would be... Director is bad.
Yep. Absolutely, yes. Yes.
So are we suggesting that James Wan was a one-hit wonder and that one hit is Fast and Furious?
Well, it came the latest of all of his movies?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, probably. I don't know.
Okay.
Well, okay, to be fair, this is the Conjuring series, of which there are many.
There are now
this
six
is the number
films.
There are six. They're not all named The Conjuring. There's like a universe. There's Annabelle ones. There's a bunch of other shit.
Mm-hmm.
This is the number one grossing horror franchise of all time.
Really?
I had no idea than
like Friday the 13th or
then Jaws, then all of them.
Then
does Jaws count as a horror franchise? God damn it, Scream.
Yeah, no. Scream. I think Scream was like between 5 and 10.
Okay.
It's like, yeah, Saul is very up there, which is another James Wan.
Mm-hmm.
Seems to be more just because there's been so many.
Yeah.
So I think this is the same kind of thing. This movie in particular made a shitload of money. Like a genuine ton of money. And then they have made Conjuring 2, I think two prequels, an Annabelle movie, an Annabelle Beginnings movie
prequel?
Recently.
Yeah, prequel.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's been like a ton of them.
There's two more that are being filmed right now, I believe. The Conjuring 3 and then something about a demonic nun.
Yep. Uh-huh. That makes sense.
So The Conjuring had a budget of $20 million and made $318 million.
Yeah.
Wow.
That is a crazy amount of money for a horror movie.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Holy shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where did they spend the 20? This could have been Blair Witch. Like, it's, oh my god.
Blair Witch would have made it a lot more engaging because, I was telling Zach this, like, after I finished watching this last night. I got so bored and distracted halfway through that, like, one, I started playing The Legend of Zelda for a while.
Dope.
In the middle.
Let's talk about that Switch functionality that you go from
all
TV
right,
to
all right, all right.
And two,
Nintendo,
I had to
send
look
me
up...
another Switch, I guess?
yeah, of course. And two, I had to look up the, like, plot summary on Wikipedia because I just could not remember how anything happened.
Because it was so generic, or like...
It was kind of generic
boring.
And also just real boring.
It was just really boring. It's a boring movie.
Guys, ghosts are fucking boring. They're so boring. If you don't, like, buy into ghosts, or if you kind of buy into ghosts, this whole movie sucks. Like, the whole thing is just, like, fucked from the jump. It's so stupid.
I stopped taking notes, like, in the first half an hour. So.
Yeah. Yeah, all of my notes were in the first, like, 20 minutes, and then at the end I just wrote, like, ghosts are boring. Like, it's so dumb.
Yeah. So let me ask, do they treat the paranormal investigators as frauds who then encounter a real ghost?
No. Because at the, like, one of my few notes is, people seem to think that these demonologists are legitimate. Like, they're giving lectures in apparently legitimate universities, and...
I might be wrong, but I think these two were both actual tenured professors on some sort of paranormal nonsense in, like, the Mid-South at some point.
Yeah.
Like, actual academics, yeah.
Hmm.
Very upsetting.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So, off the start, I'll have my kind of, like, summary of the first part of the movie, and that is, welcome to the Loud Noise Jump Scare Show.
Uh-huh.
That doesn't seem out of the ordinary.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's pretty much, like, unfortunately, that's how I feel the horror genre has kind of gone now.
It has.
Like, spoiler for the newly released movie It, but I felt that that movie was also very much just jump scares and not, like, that tension that you're really... Like, it's not existentially frightening. It's just, like, loud noise spook.
Loud noise spook. I agree, but I also really enjoyed the rest of the movie.
Oh, yeah. Like,
I
enjoyed it. Right. Especially that one dancing scene. That was pretty much the best scene ever.
You know how I feel about dance scenes. Love them.
Seth, you've made me watch it at least 5 or 6 times now, yes.
It's true.
it's especially upsetting that, like, this movie does get by on only jump scares, and also it is now, like, the sort of gold standard of horror movie because it made so much money.
Yeah, which, I guess. Yeah.
So I was talking about this when we did Insidious, and it's the same kind of deal where, like, horror was very bad, and now it's gotten better, but, like, It Follows, and, like, you know, there's some good examples, but, like,
I think
this and Insidious are the ones that keep making money, and so unfortunately, these are the ones that are going to keep getting made, which is a bummer. Right.
Well, I also think we may have actually made this point last week too, but I think because these boring cookie cutter ones are making a lot of money, it's actually encouraging other filmmakers to make more interesting versions of horror movies because, one, they'll be able to get someone to fund them because, oh, horror movies are huge right now. And two, it's like, I love horror movies and that's fucking boring. So we got to actually put something interesting out there.
Yeah, no, that's entirely true. Yeah.
That is a good point. And potentially that is how this will go. But there's no way to tell because the big studios are still going to be doing this kind of bullshit.
Well, to be fair, so, like, It Follows and, God damn it, what was the Jordan Peele one?
Get Out.
That
was, like, fucking amazing.
Which was really good. So that was a really fun...
Excellent movie.
I was so surprised. There were so many twists in that actually surprised me for once.
Yeah. And so, like, you're not wrong. Like, that these blockbusters, because the studios only care about money, they are opening the door for, like... better but, like, less cliche horror.
I can respect that.
Are you guys also sensing kind of the trend of the horror movies that you're enjoying tend to be a metaphor or a message or like the central point of the movie isn't that it's a horror movie, the horror movie is just the way they chose to tell that story?
The way I think the horror genre should work, it should be like what society is struggling with at the time manifest in a physical way.
Sure. But what we're saying is these Conjuring Insidious movies don't do that. They're just a horror movie.
Oh, yeah, this movie is literally set in like the 60s. Like, mm-hmm. yeah, it has nothing to do with anything anyone cares about anymore.
Yeah.
yeah. I would argue some of the more interesting ones have to do with like technology and how are we dealing with that and like that kind of stuff. Like,
well, that's just because that's what's relevant right now.
Right, but I mean, those are more interesting than like ghosts in the 60s, which was this entire movie, and it sucked so bad.
Yeah, it did suck really bad.
God, it was terrible.
Okay, maybe we should do like a very brief plot, even though, Lee, you hit most of the main points.
Well, you got all the characters right, for sure. Yep. Well, except for Ron. I think Ron, you got Ron Livingston. But everybody else.
Yeah. Is he married to Lily Taylor in the movie?
He sure is.
Okay. He sure is.
They have Since you said five that, but... children.
Yeah. That's so many.
That's way too... And they're all girls, and it's...
God, the budget for like pocket napkins to clean up sticky fingers must be out of control in that household.
I bet the house smells terrible, and everything is sticky. And
it's like a gym locker in here. Man. Too All bad right, ghosts well... fucking love gym lockers. Yeah.
anyway. God, oh, damn. Man. I want to make a movie that is a haunted gym locker.
I would sooner watch that than this nonsense.
I feel like there's got to be some sort of, like, B-movie slasher fic that is more or less a haunted gym locker.
Yeah,
probably.
No, there definitely is. There's that one that takes place in a like in a gym, and it's like a slasher movie. Oh man, I can't remember it.
There's like Teaching Mrs. Tingle and The Faculty.
I was just gonna ask if you guys remember The Faculty.
Yeah,
it's a showtime. Oh man, my doppelganger.
Well, we're gonna have to bleep that. Oh shit. all right. So yeah, Seth, do you have like a 30-second version of this plot so we can get over it and talk shit?
Okay. Let me see if I can gather my thoughts about this crap hole well enough. Okay, so we start off following around the Warrens, and we start off in a completely ancillary scene where some, I think, nurses are killed by a living doll, but that doesn't particularly matter.
Yep, I have a note about this, not to interrupt and make this even longer.
Yeah.
The opening scene, there is a line that is, "We invited a dying person to live in our doll so that they could stay with us in our apartment." That is the opening scene, and as Seth mentioned, it has nothing to do with anything.
Wait,
but when your first scene is, "We invited a dying person to live in our doll," you have fucked up so colossally already that you cannot redeem yourself.
Well, if you're not going to make the movie about a haunted fucking doll, then yeah.
Well, they have
that's
made
a fucking problem. They've made several movies about a haunted doll. It's just not this one.
Yeah, like this is the way to tie it into the fucking stupid Annabelle universe.
So the tie-in to the extended universe happens before we see anything about the universe proper.
Uh huh.
Correct. Uh huh. Yeah, they were long con in that one. Like, in 4 years after this makes $300 million, we're gonna make a couple doll movies.
And it
worked. It somehow worked.
It seemed to have worked. The other tie-ins, so the Warrens have like a weird, horrible museum of all of their like now sanctified but once possessed items, and some of those items are important in the other films in the series.
No,
it is true, they were clearly writing this movie with like, it was kind of like yours for Insidious. It was like, we could make like 40 or 50 of these movies if we just set them up right.
so my inclination to set up an extended universe at the end of my movie was thematically correct.
For sure.
Definitely, yes.
Yeah. Neat.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, sorry, go
so,
on.
So, we follow the Warrens, we do this stupid nursing, and then we follow the Warrens around, and they're like going to universities and stuff or whatever, and somehow they are contacted by the Livingston family clan because some weird stuff has been happening to them. There's a lot of like two different stories. At the beginning, it's like the Livingston family, which is what I'm going to refer to it as. Mm-hmm. And the Warren family, like, completely separate stories for, like, a good half an hour, 45 minutes. Yep. Having no interaction whatsoever.
Correct.
And then the Livingstons started having more and more ghost issues, and somehow the Warrens get called in. The Warrens set up all sorts of surveillance equipment, 70s style, like...
big chunky camcorders and
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, like...
absolutely, yep.
Temperature sensors that turn on trail cameras, more or less.
Well, not even trail cameras, like film camera. I mean, it was like the 60s and 70s. They didn't have much, but...
Yeah, but like...
but they rolled out all the stops.
Like, it's an equivalent of a trail camera, where, like, it's movement that causes the camera to turn on or whatever. And they find that there's been, like, 15 freaking murders in this house or something.
Oops, bad luck.
Yeah, whoopsie dizzle. Yeah. Oh, wait.
By the murder house.
Whoopsie doopsies.
Yeah. Whoopsie doopsie.
Whoopsie doopsie.
It turns out that there was a demon or a witch or something. I don't know. I don't remember. Do you remember, Zach?
Witch. It was a witch.
Is it a witch? Yeah. Okay, because a demon comes up later. Yeah. But.
Also an Insidious, yes.
Yeah.
It's a real twofer. Yeah. Is it the same demon?
Patrick Wilson is in both of these movies, and I thought they were, again, there's 100 movies in this universe.
Yeah.
Somehow this one is not in the Insidious universe, but
there was a witch that, like, long story short, the witch possesses mothers to kill their children.
Oh, God, that is bleak. Because
I think her child died. Or
no, she sacrificed her child to Satan.
Oh, right. Yeah. Because witch, right. Of course.
Yeah, she was a witch and she sacrificed her child to Satan and then hung herself and said, nobody better take my land because whatever, Rhode Island, I guess, is a stand your ground state. I don't know.
Oh, not for guns, but for witchcraft, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if Lovecraft has anything to do with it, then surely. famed Rhode Island resident H.P. Lovecraft. All right. So, the witch possesses mothers.
Harry Potter witchcraft? What?
Yeah. That's his name. Stands for?
Harry Potter.
You
Lovecraft?
Just fucked up literary bingo. Yep. You're the English major of the group. Come on.
The witch possesses mothers to kill their children, and guess what? The mother of the family gets possessed and tries to kill all the children.
Oh, poor Lily Taylor.
As you noted.
Yeah, and there's, you know, all sorts of fights and whatever, and then Patrick Wilson has to do an exorcism, even though he's not a priest, and that's a whole big deal.
I want to interrupt right here. Mm-hmm. You said there's all sorts of fights and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That was an hour and 15 minutes of the movie.
Yeah, that's
that
true.
That one sentence that you just said. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
like,
true.
The ghost bits in the beginning, like, ooh, something weird's happening, was like 20.
This is a 2-hour long movie.
I was about to explain. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes.
Oh,
2 hours. The part you're about to explain is another, like, 20, and the there's a lots of weird ghost shit is literally, like, 70% of the movie. It is so boring.
Yeah, there's so much, boring. Like, oh, spooky sound. Oh, yeah. Weird shadow. Oh, jump scare. And all right, so, Zach, what in the hell is hide and clap? What is this? So, apparently, this family plays... a game like Marco Polo, but it's called hide and clap, and they do it in a, like, above water, inexplicably, and just wander around the house, somebody that's blindfolded, and the polos of this situation have to clap. And
well, it's a
so inexplicable.
Oh no! It's a plot device to get Lily into a closet where there's a ghost.
Yeah,
are they trying to summon Tinkerbell to save them? Like, what the fuck?
Yeah,
no, I mean, they're expositing. I think it's so bad. It's so stupid.
So dumb.
So dumb.
Oh, Okay, anyway, so they play this weird game all the time. Anyway, like, eventually Patrick Wilson manages to perform an exorcism inexplicably. And then there's a bunch of epilogues where, like, all the families are happy now. And it's like, all happy families are happy in the same way. And all sad families are sad in different ways. I don't know. It's kind of an Anna Karenina sort of situation.
They might as well have put in the epilogues, like, hey, buy your tickets for the sequel now. You can get them in the lobby.
And there is a sequel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is
the first sequel, does it deal directly with the same characters? Or?
Yep.
Could not tell you.
Yep. I fell into a Wikipedia hole last night. And
that's what happened with me in Insidious last time we talked about this shit.
Yeah. I happened to read the synopses of all the films in this series.
Mm-hmm.
And they pretty much all deal with Patrick Wilson.
Oh, just Patrick, huh?
Well, is his name his name James Warren? Whatever Warren.
I don't remember what his name is, because honestly, do not care.
Ed Warren. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the actual people in this, he is the only person outside of the Catholic Church to be ordained to do actual exorcisms in real life, which like is weird. That's a confusing thing.
Pretty funky, yeah.
Yeah, and so like these actual humans were like, I guess I don't want to say revered, but like they did this shit in the 60s and 70s, and I guess we're like ostensibly respected in some capacity.
Oh, here's another clue. I'm pretty sure that a town adjacent to my hometown has a famous fake haunting that was investigated by these people.
Oh, cool! Oh, yeah,
great.
Yeah, yeah.
So famously these people also had to deal with the Amityville Amityville was based off of the sort of
I was
thing
gonna that, ask if this was related to Amityville.
Like technically that's a thing that comes up in everything.
Wait, was Patrick Wilson in that goddamn movie too?
Ryan Reynolds was in the remake. Ooh, I believe
Ryan Reynolds, you say?
And of course Jimmy Broyles, James Brolin, was in the Ridge.
Jimmy Broyles.
Oh, I remember that. That was peak Brolin.
Pretty bad movie.
He's
very bearded in that movie.
Yeah. So Amityville is like in this same sort of vein, right? And the people who own the current Amityville house are suing the makers of The Conjuring because people keep doing property destruction, like graffiti and all sorts of larcenous behavior.
They should just take out that damn bay window and no one would ever know it was the Amityville house.
Yeah, well, true fact. The biographer, whose name I cannot currently recall, of the Wilsons, supposedly had a, like an exclusive deal with Patrick Wilson. Whoops.
Patrick Wilson's esteemed biographer.
Gerald Brittle is his name, who wrote a book about the Warren family, supposedly had an agreement with him that only he could do biographies of them. And is claiming that the Conjuring franchise
is too close to a biography,
is infringing upon his rights.
Christ.
So I mean,
by the way,
litigious we all are. So
yeah, well, just as a tidbit, Patrick Wilson's biographer happens to be named Patrick Wilson because he's the only person
who cares?
Interested in the Patrick Wilson biography.
The only one that has ever purchased Patrick Wilson's biography is also named Patrick Wilson.
Isn't much more to this movie, so why don't we just get the ratings, I guess, right?
I have one more thing. Yeah. As I
regular
noted...
Regular Columbo.
Oh.
All of my notes...
See, I was going to do a... Okay. like uncle from the Jackie Chan Adventures cartoon.
Wow.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
No,
I think that cut is so deep that you amputated my arm.
So deep. So, as I noted, most of my notes were from the first 20 minutes because I, as you said, Seth, like fucking fully checked out after that. So I was saying, Lily Taylor takes me back to 6 Feet Under, a show that I inexplicably watched, that she was in, where like it, Sarah Paulson does this now with like various characters where they always play the like stereotypically helpless woman, and it's goddamn the worst. Like it sucks so bad.
Uh huh.
Yeah, it's just like it does no service to women, and it's really fucking boring. Like the whole movie, she's just like, "Oh, I'm a stay at home mom," and like nothing, and then she gets all possessed, and like that part is better, I guess, because there's something happening at least. But like this whole thing where there's just. And it's the 60s, whatever. But, like, if there's just, like, a woman that does nothing and is, like, very passive and, like, helpless, it's just so dumb. Like,
yeah,
doesn't
I
help
agree.
Anybody.
No.
Yeah. My only other one... Oh, go ahead.
Wait, I have a point with that. 6 Feet Under starred Peter Krause, right? Of Sports Night fame.
Right.
Yes.
Okay, that's all I wanted to say is I remembered Sports Night was a thing.
Oh, Oh, we all remember Sports Night.
I was saying this the other day to someone that if you could take me back to like 2000, whenever, when Sports Night was on, and you told me that the person on the show I'd be the biggest fan of presently is Josh Charles, I would have called you a liar. But if you're not...
Yep.
All on board the Josh Charles train, then you're not friends with me. That's all I gotta say.
I mean, Sorkin stuck with his actors, man. Like, he must have had a lot of pool because it was always the same dudes and ladies over and over. Yeah.
Yep. I appreciate a Josh Charles or two.
Yeah. My only other note that is worth mentioning is I will read verbatim. Dead dog, 16 minutes in, ... Audiences love dead dogs. Yep.
Good point.
That's the
Is that
thing.
Your that's your only note?
That's the only good one. Yeah.
Yeah. My final note in this movie was basically asking myself, like questioning if I actually enjoyed the entire genre of horror.
Oh, it shook you at the foundation.
Yeah, I don't like the horror genre. If it's all jump scares, I don't think I like it anymore.
Do you think it was more that the movie was so bad that you felt that way, or that it was so just pointless and by the numbers that you made you feel that way?
¿Por qué no los dos?
Ah, you bastard. Yeah, no, I honestly agree.
Zach,
yeah, what?
What
why not both? It's why not both. Okay, it's why not both. No, I agree. Like, we talked about this earlier, but this gives horror a bad name.
Yeah.
Like, there are good people doing good horror movies,
mm-hmm.
but when this kind of shit makes $300 million, like, god damn it. It's just, like, this is what we're gonna get more of, and it's upsetting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's jump into our rating. Zach, what do you got for the original Conjuring?
Well, okay, so I'll do the IMDb first.
I forgot.
IMDb has 7.5.
Oh, Jesus, really?
Yeah, 7.5 with 342,000 votes.
Oh, my God. That's a lot of fucking votes.
A lot. And 7.5 is, like, enough to get you almost in the top 250.
Yeah.
Like, of all time. That's
getting up there. That's a high number.
Yeah, that's upsetting.
Oof, that feels inexplicable. Oof. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I guess to make it short, this movie fucking was boring as hell. So, Yeah, I give this like a 4, I'd say. Like, mm-hmm. the cinematography was fine. James Wan did like an okay job at that. Mm-hmm. But like, yeah, the script and everything.
Notably, the really director of photography bad. Does the cinematography. But you
well,
know.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, very bad. Mm-hmm. Lees, I enjoy. So that was kind of a twist on the horror movie with the, like, they're actually frauds and you gotta find them out, whatever. Like, I don't think I've seen that before, which is kind of fun. And I just genuinely like horror movies. Mm-hmm. So I'll go 6.5 on mm-hmm. these.
I think that's entirely fair.
Yeah. Well, and 6.5 for a horror movie is like a 10 for normal movies.
Yeah, that's true. It's a different scale.
Yeah. Yeah. What about you?
Well, for the original, oh boy.
Yeah,
it was just so, it was so boring and stupid.
So boring.
And
boring.
And so procedural, almost. Like,
yeah.
It was just running through, like, these are the aspects that you need for a ghost movie.
Yep. Let's so it just, it's a bingo card. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a bingo card.
It was the CBS primetime show of horror movies.
You mean the Ghost Whisperer, starring Jennifer Love Hewitt?
Oh, I was my gonna God, say, I forgot about that.
I mean, the that Big was Bang mostly Ghost, yeah. about Jennifer Love Hewitt just, like, being super cleavagey and solving vague mysteries.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I thought that was the one with Zach Galifianakis in it, but that was
That's
the
True Calling.
Other one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're thinking of
with
True Calling.
With my favorite person of all time.
The douche. Yeah, the douche. Mm-hmm.
The douche. Yeah. Anyway.
yeah, it was a boring, like, cinematography is fine, but I don't think the actual direction was all that good. So okay. I'm gonna give it like a 2.
Entirely
like a,
fair.
Yeah. Yeah, like a 2.
Right
like,
in the Seth sweet spot there. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it's not a 0, because, there were actors in it.
And it had a plot.
And it did have a plot. Vaguely.
You've been very, very generous lately. So
I have
I'm glad
been.
We're back to normal Seth.
Yeah, good, yeah. good.
Good old
you know
crotchety
what?
Asshole.
I've been happy for the last like month, so let's get back to basics.
Yes, exactly.
Well, let's fix that.
Yep. Yep. and as for Lee's, I quite enjoyed it, and I think there is a lot of potential to do some really interesting things there. So
yeah.
I'm gonna give it like a 7.
Oh my goodness. Ooh. My goodness.
It's quite a difference, but like I also enjoy the horror genre if it's done well.
Yeah.
Doing it well is few and far between, but we've mentioned a couple that do it well, and I think that this movie has the potential to do it in a not procedural way.
Like, yeah, mm-hmm. absolutely.
This ain't Law and Order, y'all.
So I will note, after our ratings, we enjoyed Lee's a bunch, and yet we still rated him lower than the populace rated this goddamn nightmare movie.
Yeah, this garbage
movie.
Which
is ridiculous.
Yeah, I don't understand why this has such a high rating. Is Ron Livingston a sex symbol? Again?
Is he too... How puffy is he in this movie?
He's pretty puffy. He's
puffy enough.
So then, yeah, he is definitely a sex symbol again.
He is a Scientologist, right? I'm pretty sure.
Is Ron Livingston a Scientologist? Interesting.
I might be thinking of Jason Lee.
I mean,
Jason Lee is certainly one. I know that for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to bring down the power of the church, pray Xenu, upon us, but...
Yeah. Cover
wait,
your bases.
Wait.
Cover
or do bases. We not praise Xenu? Oh, whoops.
Ladies and gentlemen, Seth is on the job market. Yes.
Really not getting a job in Hollywood.
In the church. Yeah. All right. Well, I think we decided.
Anyway,
Lee did it very much better than the actual movie.
Yes.
Clearly.
It's true.
Thank you, guys.
It's true.
It's very sweet.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a bad movie, and Lee, you did a pretty decent job.
Thank you. I was going for pretty decent.
That's high praise for me, you know that.
Yeah. That's true.
You can't start a franchise with, like, a mind-blowing picture. You gotta go for the crowd pleasers.
Mm-hmm. Right. Sure. Well, and true to force, like, this is one of six, so yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Seems good. All right, cool. Well, I guess next week, I think we're gonna go back to the old divisible by 10 scenario. Really good.
Gonna head
it.
Maybe back into the haunted casino, perhaps.
Yeah, gonna really do it.
No, how spooky.
Ooh.
The only refreshments you can get in the haunted casino are booberry and frankenberry.
Yeah. How refreshing do you find dry cereal? Like,
oh no, I mix it with orange juice.
God, why?
Get the acid in there. Get the
acid. Because you need acid.
Not even our yours, mine, and Zach's favorite Korean milk-based soda, Milky's.
Yeah,
Milky's, so good. Oh man, I should try that. I should try pouring Milky's on. On cereal.
Oh, no,
I mean,
no, you shouldn't.
It's worth a shot.
That seems really bad. You know, there's something I should have brought you guys last week, and that's a thing called banana milk, which is pretty delicious.
Oh,
that does sound nice.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, next time.
Yeah. Next time we're all in the same location again.
Yeah.
It's 5 years.
5 years.
So, yeah. I guess, so let's say next time, mm-hmm. We decided to... we listened to some feedback from our dear listeners, and we are bringing in an outside judge. For our roulette spectacular.
Yeah, some people claim that I like just kind of railroaded everybody. I don't know.
some
people claim that the Iron Giant was robbed.
I mean,
as a participant and a judge, I stand by all of my decisions.
Thank you.
I think you earned mm-hmm. that one. Mm-hmm. I mean, we didn't make Iron Giant stickers, am I right?
That's right.
That is true. I did pay for stickers for one of Seth's movies.
So. Yeah, that is empirical true. Evidence, yes.
Mm-hmm. I still want the t-shirt that has the Iron Giant on the front and Scream on the back, but...
Yeah, I also want to wear a dick on my chest. Yeah, that'd be fun.
And I guess just to leave you guys to tantalize our audience a little, so we will be having a guest judge, and as mm-hmm. a clue, so you can maybe figure out who it is, we are going to call the episode Rom-Com Roulette Part 2 : The Revenge. So
mm-hmm.
think back to how just our general levels of abusiveness towards our guests, and you might be able to piece this one together.
Yeah, that's true.
It's going to be a good retribution. Should be fun.
Yeah. You don't have to be Columbo to solve this mystery.
That's a good tagline.
Yeah. All right. This is all
bikers,
cut out, so
Bo Bikers.
Let's let's get back bikers. To a normal ending.
Bafana Fana Mo Bikers. Bikers.
Oh boy. All right. Lee, do you
No. We need to fit in more Christ. Potential catchphrases before we go.
Oh, okay.
All right, I'm gonna vape because this is getting cut out, but go ahead.
That's your catchphrase. And on that note, Seth still did it best.